The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Tastes have changed since Bob's Discount Furniture opened its first store in 1991, but not the way they do business. At Bob's, I know I can get today's styles, like feature-packed bedroom sets with storage and charging, or real marble dining sets, all at 90s-era prices. Plus, with no money-down financing options and fast shipping, you don't have to wait months to get your furniture. So, stop into your local Bob's store this Labor Day weekend and celebrate 35 years of doing things the Bob's way.
Trina Diaz, and welcome to CBS Mornings On The Go. Ahead on this Friday, August 28th, what you need to know about measles, why it's on the rise in the U.S., and how to keep everyone in your family safe. Dr. Celine Gounder breaks it down. Plus, Zac Brown joins us first on CBS Mornings from his dressing room on tour. He is taking time to talk about his friend, the late, the great, the only Dolly Parton. Also, who doesn't love a wedding, right? But they can be expensive now more than ever, especially for the bride and groom. We're going to talk about ways to save before you say I do. And Vlad's got an important question for Talk of the Table. Should male parents and family members take young girls to the men's room, their daughters, their nieces, or should they go to the women's room? We've all got thoughts, all that and more ahead.
But we're going to begin this hour with a whole lot of dangerous weather in the Northeast. Heavy rain put 12 million Americans under a flash flood warning on Thursday in the New York City area. New Jersey was hit hard, and that is bad news for travelers today. Tom Hansen is at Newark International Airport. Tom, good morning. Break down the situation for us right now.
Hey there. Yeah. Hey there, Vlad. Good morning to you again. Well, yesterday there were more than 1,300 flight cancellations across the Northeast and around 2,400 delays. As you can see, it's clear skies, thankfully, here this morning. So we are seeing a much better situation travel-wise. But that wasn't the case yesterday, as local officials reported extreme flooding conditions here. It was actually the case across much of the Garden State. Throughout New Jersey, flash floods dumped more than 5 inches of rain in some areas. Drivers that tried to pass through flooded waters, well, let's just say they learned the hard way. Just south of this airport, water rose up to car headlights. Stalled cars were just stuck in flooded streets. Some people were even seen carrying their belongings above flooded sidewalks. More than 80 flood incidents, guys, were reported from southeastern Pennsylvania to New York City. And heading upstate to New York, the storms caused a massive traffic jam as people rushed to leave the county fair. It wasn't just rain, though. Check out this possible tornado near Saratoga Springs, just north of Albany. And more travel disruptions are expected today across the Southeast as more storms roll through that area. Adriana.
Thank you so much, Tom. Appreciate you. Turning now to today's Health Watch and the alarming spread of measles. Pennsylvania officials announced 2 measles-associated deaths in unvaccinated people. Governor Josh Shapiro says they are the first deaths from the disease in the state in 35 years. But local officials dispute the governor's statements, and HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. suggested the deaths may have been fabricated without offering any evidence. Dr. Celine Gounder is a CBS News medical correspondent and editor-at-large for public health at KFF Health News. Dr. Gounder, good morning. I'm so glad that you're here because we're hearing different things from officials who their job is to tell the public what is happening. Why are we seeing this disconnect, and how common is it to see local, state, and federal officials not on the same message here?
So a little bit of the same conversation we saw during COVID. Did somebody die from or with COVID? Similarly, did somebody die from or with measles? Without getting into the weeds, and there's still some information that needs to come out about some of the laboratory testing, to me, the most important question is, would these people have died if they had not gotten measles? And so the way you code a death certificate, you might say somebody died from pneumonia that was bacterial, preceded by a viral pneumonia, which was caused by measles. So it may not be the number one cause of death, but that doesn't mean it was not involved in the sequence of things that ultimately led to the death.
Do we know anything about the victims here? I mean, it's in the Lancaster, Pennsylvania area. The first thing I thought of was their large Amish Pennsylvania Dutch community. Do we know anything about who may have been impacted?
We don't know very much yet. We know that one of the deaths was in a newborn, but we don't know very much about the other one. And again, the laboratory data hasn't come out yet. So that's what I'm really waiting to see. But big picture, would they have died if they had not gotten measles? Doesn't sound like, it doesn't sound like they would have been, they would still be alive if they had, or excuse me, it sounds like they would still be alive had they not gotten measles.
Can you describe what measles actually does to the body?
So measles infects your immune cells, and these are the immune cells that make antibodies. And so you're erasing your antibody immunity, and it's not just temporary during the measles infection. That erasure lasts for about 2 to 3 years, which is why very often kids who get measles eventually die from a bacterial pneumonia, from diarrheal disease. Again, would they have gotten that pneumonia or that diarrheal disease if they hadn't gotten measles, if their immune system hadn't been damaged? And in the case of newborns, they get their protection from mother's antibodies. And so babies are not vaccinated for measles in this country until about 12 to 15 months. Mm-hmm. Until that point, it's from mom that they're getting protection. And if mom has not been vaccinated, she has no protection to give.
Mm. Okay. And if she had, that would be passed down to
right.
The newborn. Okay. Dr. Celine Gounder, really appreciate it.
Time for a look at the stories that caught our eye. Kelly O'Grady's doing double duty this morning. Take it away.
Hey, Vlad. All right. We're going to begin with a warning about artificial intelligence from some of the biggest names in the business. OpenAI published a letter about potentially catastrophic AI-led cyber attacks targeting the systems we rely on the most, including hospitals, water treatment plants, and even the internet itself. They add, we have a limited window to strengthen cyber defenses. The letter was signed by more than 100 other companies, including Adobe, Google, and General Motors, as well as other AI companies like Anthropic. OpenAI says the best way forward is for companies to work together with governments to prepare for these attacks and build up defenses to protect everyone. Now to the latest in that deadly runway collision at LaGuardia Airport back in March. CBS News has learned the FAA is moving to fire two air traffic controllers who left work early. An Air Canada jet hit a fire truck, killing the pilot and co-pilot, injuring dozens of other people. Two controllers were on duty, the standard overnight staffing level, according to the NTSB. Those who left would have provided extra support. The FAA says it's committed to holding employees accountable and will not compromise the safety or efficiency of the national airspace system. And finally, the popular YouTube channel and apparel company Good Good Golf is facing backlash over an ad that features a man shoving a woman to the ground.
Do not touch my new driver.
In the wake of the controversy, Good Good Golf pulled out of a planned sponsorship deal for a PGA tournament this fall. They made the announcement in a social media post Thursday, writing, "We recognize that we have work to do as an organization." The ad was part of a partnership with equipment maker Callaway. Callaway also announced they've cut ties and will donate $1 million to organizations that work to prevent violence against women.
Who thought that was a good idea at this company?
That's the thing I always sit and wonder to myself, Adriana and Kelly. You sit in a room with a bunch of marketing people, and someone's like, yeah, green light. And then it goes up the chain of command, green light, green light, green light. And then, oh, we're going to donate money now because we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, you don't want to score a goal against yourself.
No, Kelly, wow. Wild stories. Thank you so much. Dolly Parton left more than just a musical legacy. She gave back to her community in ways that will be felt for generations. For Dolly, it was deeply personal. When Hurricane Helene hit hard, she made sure that those who lost it all didn't lose hope. Skylar Henry is in Tennessee with more. Skylar, good morning.
Hey, Adriana, good morning to you. It has been a week filled with love for all things Dolly. And as the tributes have rolled in, you get a sense that in many ways, Dolly Parton helped put this part of the country on the map. And so in return, people here are saying thank you.
With fans singing her songs.
Jolene, Jolene.
And sharing tributes online.
I'm begging of you, please don't take my man.
Dolly Parton's death is being felt around the world. But here in East Tennessee, the loss feels especially personal.
Dolly is from here, born and raised. She's one of us.
Dustin Manning has run his local flower shop business in Sevierville for decades. He says the orders have been coming nonstop, with people calling in from around the world to share their own stories about what Dolly meant to them. And for many here, her legacy isn't measured in records or awards. It's measured in how she showed up.
She never forgot about East Tennessee.
Cynthia Finch remembers Dolly's help after Hurricane Helene slammed the state 2 years ago. Dolly donated $1 million of her own money to help with relief efforts.
Well, she bought resources, and then she brought her smile, and she sung a song for everyone up in our community right in front of the Walmart. She turned Jolene into Helene and cheered people up.
Helene, 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 Helene.
Dolly's legacy was always bigger than the stage. And for the people who knew her and the millions who didn't, the message she left behind was simple.
Everybody has dreams, but not that many people get to see their dreams come true. So sincerely, I thank you.
While her various businesses and philanthropy will continue, a new petition would name an international airport after her. There are already more than 100,000 signatures calling on officials to rename Nashville's airport after Dolly Parton. Vlad.
Love this story yes. so much, Skylar. I mean, Dolly was just the most wonderful person. That's why everybody, there is no one who is not mourning Dolly
yes.
Parton.
I'm loving Black Twitter talking about how Dolly Parton was always invited to the cookout and how she might have even been cooking at the cookout, which is like an extra level of respect. I just love it. I love it. I want to sign that petition for
Nashville's
airport.
We're all going to sign that petition.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
Skylar, thank you very much. And this morning, we're hearing from more people closest to Dolly, her family. Her sister, Stella, opened up by saying this: "My sister was one of the most generous, thoughtful, and kind people I've ever known. What the world saw is exactly who she was." Stella also revealed just how much Dolly was willing to give, sharing this: "If there was no hope for her, she would still allow her medical team to try experimental drugs in the hope of helping others."
Wow.
That is, I mean, again, yeah. we've been talking all week about that, but you would allow doctors to use experimental medical drugs on yourself because you would think it might help someone somewhere else.
Yeah, it's just foundational. She wanted to help others. Ahead, are we alone out there?
No.
I say no. I agree. Okay, NASA is about to launch a new space telescope, how it can show us thousands of new planets. This is CBS Mornings.
NASA's newest space telescope may change the way we see the universe. The space agency plans to launch the $4.3 billion Nancy Grace Roman Telescope on Sunday. That is the name of the telescope. As our Mark Strassman shows us, scientists are excited about what it could discover.
154, you are good to go.
You're looking at NASA's Roman Space Telescope, barrel-shaped, about the size of a tour bus. Destination, deep space. From an orbit 1 million miles from Earth, Roman will map the cosmos inside the Milky Way and far beyond with jaw-dropping sweep and detail.
We're going to see the universe in a way that we haven't been able to do before.
Julie McHenry is Roman's senior project scientist.
How many planets do we know about now?
Just over 6,000.
And with Roman, how many more do we expect to learn?
We expect somewhere between 60,000 and 200,000.
That's an extraordinary jump.
Yes.
Roman may one-up extraordinary images like these from the Hubble Space Telescope. Its primary mirror, roughly 8 feet in diameter, collects cosmic light. It's the same size as Hubble's, but Roman has a massive wide-field camera. A single image reveals an area up to 200 times larger than Hubble ever could. And Roman is designed to survey the sky 1,000 times faster.
We have to be able to move, stop on a dime, take a picture, and then move to the next target right away.
Mark Melton led the team that built Roman's hardware at Goddard Space Flight Center in Maryland. He spent the last 18 years making possible its shipment down to Florida for launch.
It's like sending my kid off to college, right? You brought it up from paper to hardware to testing this, and now we're shipping it off out to space for it to do its job.
Roman will study the accelerating expansion of the universe, potentially unlocking secrets about cosmic wonders such as dark matter and dark energy. Scientists also expect it will discover 20 billion stars in our own galaxy.
It will be the largest catalog of astronomical objects we've ever done with just 1 month of Roman observations. That same thing with Hubble would take a century. So we're going to be viewing the sky in an entirely new way.
And the first images may arrive by Christmas. For CBS Mornings, I'm Mark Strassman in Greenbelt, Maryland.
You know, I'm all for scientific advancement, but don't go looking for what you don't want to find, because this telescope will discover 100,000 exoplanets, planets outside our solar system.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah. Because I don't want to find them. I don't want to find them. I would rather, no, not in my, no, not in my lifetime.
I need more curiosity out
of
you.
Curiosity. No. Yes. I want to survive.
What if they're going to help us survive?
Yeah, maybe they're going to help us,
guys.
Like fix our planet, fix people.
Am I on a movie set right now? No, that's not what happens. Don't be that character who's like, no, they're going to help
us. Be more optimistic here.
Watch Independence Day too many times.
If you've recently planned a wedding, you know expenses are soaring. The average American wedding now costs more than $34,000. A growing number of couples are finding ways to celebrate their big day without the big bill. National consumer correspondent Usha Qureshi has tips to help you save on your walk down the aisle.
I could cry just watching this again.
I know.
Amy Menger and her husband Bikram are watching their completed wedding film for the first time.
We're here to celebrate Amy and Bikram.
A film shot entirely on cell phone. One way the couple slashed thousands from their wedding budget.
The wedding industry is a great place to make money if you're a vendor, but as the one getting married, it is very, very expensive.
Good girl.
She knows. This was not Amy's first trip down the aisle. Her 350-guest Grand Indian wedding in 2019 cost a fortune, even with her parents' help. Since then, wedding costs have jumped 22%. For Bikram, an expensive wedding would have meant delaying the big day.
It felt weird waiting to get married when it just felt like a natural next step.
They're not alone. 78% of couples worry rising prices will push their budgets far too high. So this time, she and Bikram opted for a micro-wedding. 40 guests and a fraction of the cost.
My pre-COVID wedding cost over $200,000, and this micro-wedding was about $20,000.
So 10 times less.
Correct.
That's a pretty good savings.
Right? It didn't make sense for us to spend such a large chunk of money on a weekend, whereas that could be our future home when we decide to have kids.
As everyday living costs have increased, so have wedding costs.
Chicago wedding planner Nikiva Lawrence of Southwind Events says it's a calculation more couples are making.
The cost of florals and catering and shipping and transportation has all increased, and a lot of couples are surprised by just how much the impact has been.
Lawrence's budgeting playbook: cut the guest list and favors, swap the cake for a cheap grocery store one, go digital on invitations, and focus your florals where you'll take photos.
I tell couples that there are five things that you need for a wedding: the two of them, an officiant, a marriage license, and if you're a couple of faith, whatever God you choose. Everything else is icing on the cake.
Amy saved thousands by ordering her dresses online and doing her own hair and makeup.
You were happy with that?
I think I looked great.
Any regrets?
Not one. Not a single regret. Yeah. We didn't need 400 people to feel special. We felt very special with the 40 people that we had.
A special day that didn't break the bank. For CBS Mornings, I'm Usher Qureshi in Chicago.
I think the most important thing about that is they're really happy with the result and they have no regrets, which is amazing, because I think everybody has a little bit of like, one thing that would have changed about that.
Well, and by the way, you spend all that money and then you spend all the time talking to people and then you don't even get to enjoy your wedding. We slimmed it down to 28 guests and that was it.
Perfect.
Whoa.
How about yours?
202
guests?
Yes, you were invited, I'm sure.
I'm sure I was. Yes, I was invited, but man, like, I don't, I sort of feel it's kind of a
lot of people love Adriana. They want to celebrate.
That's
but
right.
My regret is I wish I would have invited a couple more people.
Oh boy.
Coming up, singer-songwriter Zach Brown is one of the last artists to record a duet with Dolly Parton. He'll join us to talk about her legacy and their special connection.
Matching outfits, extravagant birthdays, many nicknames, a few classic moves of a dog-obsessed parent. At Ollie, they're obsessed with how obsessed you are with your pup, which is why they obsess over giving your dog the best. Ollie's fresh, human-grade recipes are developed by real chefs and backed by vet nutritionists. The meals are perfectly portioned and come with a puptainer and scoop for easy storing and mess-free serving, delivering the best experience for you and your pup. And through the Ollie app, you can actually check in on your dog's health with real vets. By uploading a picture, their team can check your dog's weight, digestion, teeth, and coat. They'll then provide next steps on how to keep them thriving. And because they're just as obsessed as you are, there is zero judgment if you check in every day. You could say Ollie feeds the obsession. Go to ollie.com/firstbox and use code FIRSTBOX to get 70% off your welcome kit. Ollie, feed the obsession.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
I've realized lately that the products I use every single morning genuinely affect how I feel for the rest of the day. If something feels heavy, greasy, overly makeup-y, or complicated, I just stop reaching for it. That's why I've been loving Primally Pure's new Sun Serum Tinted SPF. It gives mineral SPF 30 protection and enough coverage to make my skin look even and healthy, but it still looks like my skin. It has this really fresh, lived-in glow, and their lip and cheek tint has become one of those products I keep throwing on throughout the day because it makes me look instantly more awake and put together in like 10 seconds. The whole vibe just feels very effortless. Skin first, clean girl beauty. Products that enhance your skin. If you've been wanting your routine to feel lighter, simpler, and more natural this summer, definitely check out Primally Pure's Sun Serum and Lip and Cheek Tints.
This is how we do it. Okay, we can't spend the whole show singing. But that was a little Montel Jordan
little Montel
for you,
Jordan
right?
On a Friday.
All
I'm
right.
Feeling
That's
it.
Right. So welcome back to CBS Mornings. It is time for the stories that are talk of the table. Kelly, you're up first.
Okay. So my talk of the table is history being made at the Miss USA pageant last night in Miami.
Virginia! Justice Kelly!
That was 31-year-old Justice Kelly. She is the first mom ever to hold the coveted title. Justice is also the first married Miss USA.
Yeah. Wow.
This comes after rule changes in 2023. It opened the competition up to mothers and ended the age cap for contestants. And I love this because I know often pageants get a bad rep, but what a testament. She is such a shining example of how a woman's value over time is evolving. She doesn't have to be single to win. Yeah. You know, she can have a kid. She can be very multifaceted. Congratulations, Justice. Also, you and I competed at Miss USA.
We know. Yes, Kelly was Miss Massachusetts. I was Miss New York.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about it.
Well, I remember signing the application. It said at the time you have to be
Kelly.
Yeah, there's Kelly.
Whoa.
Go off, queen. You had to be less than 26 years old. You couldn't be you couldn't have a child.
Okay,
and it's amazing
Kelly
that
O'Grady.
They have changed things and updated them to make it more
Adriana.
Yeah. What? You look like a princess.
That's my co-host. She fine.
That was so sweet.
She fine. Point.
Congratulations to Justice.
Incredible. And she, by the way, she's an advocate for foster youth. Like, the girl is just going to do amazing.
Yeah,
also,
she's
I was told to also say that she's an Alpha Kappa Alpha.
Okay, nice.
Yes, that's a big deal for, like,
she's a sister, too.
That's
I love
right,
it.
She's a sister, too.
It.
Yeah.
Okay, my talk of the table is a dilemma that dads like myself and other male relatives go through. So Mary and my wife sent me this post from Threads. A man wrote, I'm a girl uncle, and I'm babysitting today. Which bathroom am I supposed to use? She's only four. I feel weird taking her into the men's room. I thought the responses were really interesting. One person responded, always take young girls into the women's room. And now it's at the door. Hi there, young girl uncle coming in. Yell if that's a problem. If anyone hassles you, us internet aunties will take care of them.
I love that.
Then here's another one that's interesting. My dad used to take a jacket over my head to make me cover my eyes and take me into the men's room. Most comments appeared to say, she said it, she felt like she was on a secret peeing mission. But that was really funny for a little kid. But it does seem like the consensus for the women, at least on social media, was that you can use the ladies' room. You announce dad coming in with the girl to use the bathroom. This is from someone, Tamara Yellen, who posted, listen to make sure there aren't any objections. Come in and let her do what she needs to do. Help her wash her hands and leave.
Yeah.
What does Brian do?
So my husband, when he is alone, has to take our daughter, who's four, to the bathroom. And he told me he takes her to the men's room.
Mm.
I think he says he makes it quick. He doesn't make a big deal out of it. He beelines into a stall and that's it. But I remember when I was a kid, my dad taking me into the men's room. And like, you're freaked out. There's all these men against the wall and they're facing the wall and you don't know what's going on over there.
No idea what's happening here.
But if you think about it,
it's dirty.
All of those things. But the women's room, I mean, everyone's either in a stall or washing their hands. There's no exposure. I think I encourage people to go to the women's room. But also, like, I'm not a man, so I don't know what it's like to
I'm very scared. I know. I asked our executive producer, John Tower, what he does. He said he took his young daughter into the men's room. Jared on the jib, he took Denise into the men's room. But I'm very scared, especially after, remember this story we covered earlier this summer? Police were called on a dad in Oklahoma who took his two young daughters into an empty women's restroom. Now, he actually spoke to the manager, said he was going to do this, made sure that it was okay, and yet there was still a person who called the cops on him. So I always, I feel like I want to do what the internet aunties are suggesting, yell in there, but I'm really nervous.
Yeah. I hear you. It's hard.
It's hard.
Just gotta feel it out.
It's hard being a parent, Vlad.
Every
just
day,
add it to
Brianna.
The list.
Facts.
Okay, so my talk of the table is the backstory that describes what it took to create one of Zendaya's iconic Odyssey press tour looks. So the star stylist, Law Roach, reached out to a shoe designer named Sophia Webster, requesting a specific pair of shoes for Zendaya to wear. So the problem was that the shoe was 12 years old. They didn't have it. The designer herself had a pair, but it wasn't the right size. And so she also knew she didn't have time to make a new pair or even search her giant warehouse for the needle in the haystack. But have no fear, because the universe answered the call. She reached out to her fan base on social media, and look at what happened.
So my last hope was Instagram, and the lovely, lovely Yvette replied.
I was actually very excited because I had a pair, and I was curious also. So I messaged her right away.
So when I asked her, she was so excited.
Very excited.
They were actually the first pair that she'd ever bought. When she wore them, we were all screaming. We were so excited.
That walk that she had, oh my goodness, it looked like the shoe was literally made for her. It was just the most amazing moment ever.
It's so lovely to see.
So that lady Yvette, who owned the shoe, she saved the day. She had the right size,
what?
The right color. Can you imagine seeing Zendaya walking literally in your shoes?
That's so cool.
On the red carpet.
Talk about a queen.
Talk about a queen. All three of them are queens. Yvette, who owned the shoes, Zendaya, of course. Law Roach. Definitely a queen, her stylist, and Sophia Webster, the designer. I
also,
just love how
I'm
it all
surrounded
came together.
By two queens this morning. Adriana and Kelly. That is Butterfly by the Zac Brown Band, featuring the one, the only Dolly Parton. That song was released late last year, making Zac Brown one of the last musicians to record a duet with Dolly Parton. Well, last night, the Zac Brown Band performed that song right here in New York for the first time since Dolly's passing. And we are grateful Zac Brown is joining us first on CBS Mornings from Forest Hills Stadium right here in New York City. Good morning, Zac. Always great to see you, my friend.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So let me ask you, as we just indicated to our viewers, this was one of the last songs Dolly recorded before she died. Can you just describe what that experience was like with her being in the studio, just her energy, her vibe, and what she brought to this song?
Getting to work with Dolly is such a dream of mine. We've played a few things together before, but getting to be just in the studio one-on-one with her energy that she had the integrity she always kept, the authenticity. And I think that's why she was so beloved. Not only one of the most talented humans on the planet, but one of the funniest. And she always was herself. She had so much courage to just be authentic, no matter what. And anybody that would try to talk to her and, you know, ask her questions about the way she would dress or act or whatever, she had the best comebacks all time. But she was just absolutely a legend and an angel. I mean, the closest thing to an angel walking around on the earth. And I remember when I got back her vocal, I sent her the song. I sent her a few songs and I said, I would love to do a song with you. I have one that I wrote for my kids called Butterfly. And I thought of you because a butterfly has been an icon in her branding forever. And I remember the voicemail, I saved it, of her saying, we got ourselves a number one song here. Don't you give that song to anybody else. And I just love her. Like, there will never be another Dolly Parton.
You're absolutely right, Zach. Just, you know, yeah, go ahead.
I just can't say enough about her and her character and her acceptance of, you know, of everyone and love for everyone. She lived that by example. And I felt this giant hole in the universe when I found out that she passed. But I feel so blessed to have been one of her friends and somebody that got to work with her. And I think Butterfly's a really, really special song. She loved that song. And she sang, the harmony part she sang on that song was some straight ninja work. she sang, I mean, at any age that she would have performed, what she sang on that and the power she sang on that, the complicated parts of the harmony that she chose to sing. So, you know, I've always been in awe of her since the first time that we met. I actually made a knife for her the first time that we met and brought it to her. And she's like, well, I don't think anybody's ever made me a knife before.
A knife, like a cutting knife?
Yeah, I make knives. And, so I made her a really beautiful one with, like, you know, purple handles that were made out of like fossil, like mammoth teeth, actually.
Wow.
And Zach, this was probably 15 years ago.
Tell us a bit more about your long friendship, 15 years. Everybody talks about how Dolly was the same person that you see in public as she was in private. But what surprised you the most about her? What did you not expect about her?
She's just one of those people, everything that you would expect her to be and more. And then you start speaking with her. She was always grounded in her faith. Every conversation that we ever had led to her faith and what she believes and how that's carried her through so many things, her humble beginnings, her humility, how humble that she is, but also just unbelievably talented. You know, the most published female songwriter of all time. I think 2,800 songs or something like that, that she's written and published. She worked in her community. She worked in her philanthropy. You know, we shared so many things in common about the way that we try to give back. And she is a roadmap of how to be an unbelievable human being and dedicate your life to your music and your people and to giving back to other people. I can't say enough about her. There will never be another Dolly Parton. There will never be anybody else that could fill her little tiny, very tall shoes.
Yes, very tiny but tall shoes. Zach, you know, Dolly, of course, was inducted into the Rock Hall of Fame. You performed with her, but she didn't think that she, you know, deserved to be a rock star. Clearly, that's not the case. What does that say about her that she took Jolene, she made it into a rock anthem, and you guys got to perform that together?
Yeah, well, we were chosen to be her band for the entire Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. So we got to rehearse with her for a couple days, and we got to be her band for that induction, for the entire time, for all the artists coming up to sing. And it was such an honor, such an incredible honor to get to not just share the stage with her, but to get to back her up. And and she came out, and I've never been with her when she's not dressed to the nines. when she wasn't looking amazing. I mean, she was still really hot at 80 years old. It's crazy.
I love that you say that. Yes, I love that you said that, Zach. That is.
She was.
I think that Dolly is probably looking down and going, yep.
I did my thing, and that is true. Zach Brown, thank you so, so much. We can't thank you enough. And good luck as you finish up the tour. Maybe I'll try to go.
You gotta go. Yes. Seeing the Zach Brown Band is a moving experience. It's really
I can't
cool.
wait. Zach Brown, thank you so much.
Banking has stood still for decades. Slow, clunky, and designed around its own convenience, not yours. Mercury was built to end that. Fast, elegant, and works the way you'd expect best-in-class software to work. No fighting outdated systems. No nickel and diming. Visit mercury.com to apply in minutes and experience the difference for yourself. Mercury is a fintech company, not an FDIC-insured bank. Banking services provided through Choice Financial Group and Column NA, members FDIC.